Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness. You guys already know what to do. Follow us on Twitter at ALPA underscore QB1. Also on Instagram, same thing, ALPA underscore QB1. Also on Facebook, a little pocket awareness on Facebook. Also check it out. Check us out for audio. Got the audio too, guys. Go ahead, check that out for on what am I thinking of, Chris? iTunes,
Spotify,
iTunes. Google yeah. Play. Yeah, all that good stuff. Appreciate the love that we get on the YouTube channel. Definitely, I know you guys are agreeing with Chris on the Baker Mayfield being inside the 20, but that's fine. That's fine. You guys turned on me already. That's fine. You guys turned on me inside of with Chris. That's okay. That's okay. He's you know, I like Chris. It's okay. You can do that. but we're back, Chris. We're back this week. We're gonna finish up our countdown. 10 through 1 is and I you know, I don't know if I got too many surprises for you this time, Chris. I think you.
I have a feeling that we'll be okay here. You might have Josh Allen a little higher than I would have him, but we'll get there when we get there.
You're definitely a Josh Allen hater over here. That's Chris.
I'm a Josh Allen realist. I'm not a hater. He's good. He deserves to be in this top 10. That's for sure.
All right, Chris. All right. So first thing first, you know, we talk about our teams a little bit. So Raiders quarterback battles off to heated start. It's basically film watchers versus amateurs, in my opinion. But you know, no. I need to stop. I'm bad. I need to stop, Chris. This on the show, I'm relentless. But it's true, man. I mean, if you're a Gardner Minshew fan, you're just not a film watcher. And then you're like AFC in this battle. You are. That's just basically how I feel like it. Okay. When I watch it, because you know Minshew was just running out of pockets. You know, like Gardner Minshew, I guess. You know,
Gardner's gonna Gardner.
Gardner's gonna Gardner, right? AOC looked like he's like, all right, man. You got some control over here. He was going through reads and stuff. I was like, okay, man. First time running the offense, but then he had like one sack. He got sacked, and you know, Raiders fans freaked out. He can't move. It was all because Brock Bowers ran the wrong route. Spot concept, like Bowers run the corner, bro. Like, what are you doing? You look lost out there.
Yep, young kid's gonna learn.
Yeah,
man. Had a lot of success in college. Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Yeah, because they got him playing fullback. He had no idea what he's doing. He was like trying to find a guy to block. He was like,
oh boy. Yeah, there's gonna be a learning curve for that young man.
A little bit, bro. When you mess up the spot concept, I feel like that's running high school a little bit. I feel like that's like a little bit of a high school to college concept is a spot. Like, you know, I feel like most people know what that is, you know. Just
are they going to play him a lot as like an H-back, or are you guys going to be an 11 all day long?
They did 15 snaps in the first drive. Michael Mayer and Brock Myers were on the field together on 12 of them.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what they're doing.
Who's your number two wide receiver?
Jacoby Myers.
Okay. Yeah. He's a decent number two.
Yeah. He's pretty good, man. He had a good game in the preseason game. So I think him, Adams, Bowers, and Michael Mayer, I think it would be the top four targets.
Oh, absolutely. Sense. There's no reason you stay in that 11 personnel, and you can split Brock out.
Yeah.
Heck, you can even split Mayer out. Have two and two on each side. Could you imagine having both those tight ends on the same side, and you just throw a quick one to Devontae?
Yeah.
Get those blockers out in front of them.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of creativity that you can have there offensively. So hopefully Getsy plays to it with the athletic personnel that you have with those big bodies that can be quick out there.
Yeah, for sure. now for you, Jordan Love, he faced cover zero for the first time in his life and threw a touchdown.
Was it cover zero or was it?
Bro, where was the safety?
Where's the cover one? So he came up hard. There was a crossing route, and the safety came up hard on that one. And then you had the slot fade right there, and just homie put it on the money.
Yeah.
And did he play after that? It's a Super Bowl year after this for us now. He makes one throw, and everybody's like, okay, pack it in, Super Bowl.
Did he play after that, or did he see?
I think they just played the one drive just to get them out there. And
he played 2 minutes, huh? He played two minutes.
I think I'm good with that for the first week. He can play 2 drives next week. Maybe give him a quarter in week three, maybe.
Yeah. We'll see.
Warm him up. He looked good. I'm a happy camper with what I saw. That's for sure.
It was a great throw.
You, of course, you texted that to me. You had to send it to me. And then I responded back with a flashback to 15 years ago and a young Mr. Aaron Rodgers preseason game against they played the same team. It was the Browns that time too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And he threw a nice little deep ball as well. So any opportunity to compare those two and to see them do similar things, I will take it. And I'll take this to the bank if we can get there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that's going to be pretty nice for Jordan Love. Any other standouts? JJ McCarthy got hurt. He's out.
Yeah. McCarthy was a meniscus, I think.
Yeah, he looked pretty good though against the
Raiders. That's what everybody was saying.
He looked pretty good.
Guess what? He ain't gonna look anything for the rest of the year. It's Sam Darnold's offense.
You think so? I mean, Kevin O'Connell was cooking, man. He did this one concept where he had the wide receivers bunched up together and they both did slow releases. So like it confused the corners, and like one did like a over route, the other one did a quick drag. Bro, I was like, you're a genius. Who are you? This is preseason, bro. Relax, bro. Like, what is this?
Relax.
Yeah, he had the Raiders' two rookie corners just confused. They're like, what the hell? Yeah, bro. You ain't see that in the NFL. You ain't see that in the SEC. I'll tell you that. He was cooking, man. I was like, you need to relax, bro. This is preseason. I don't know. You're not supposed to put that on film yet, bro. I don't
right?
know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now it's out there. Now it's on the film.
Trying to make JJ comfortable though. I mean that dude was wide open, bro. Like it was crazy how he set that up. I was like, man, that dude is Kevin O'Connell's cooking. And yeah, he's damn good, man. So I think if JJ does play, I think Sam Darnold's gonna be all right. I think Darnold's gonna
be okay.
I think
getting hit, as long as he doesn't hurt himself.
Yeah.
As long as he can stay healthy, I think he'll be serviceable. But, hey, I'm a happy camper. You were going to give me a rookie quarterback or Sam Darnold as a starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings? Mm-hmm. I'll take that. Yeah. Oh, did you see that?
That was
your iPad. We get a little graphic here. I hit you with the thumbs up, and we get some. We're going to do it again?
Yeah, no. I don't know how you did that, Chris. That was
I don't know how I did it either. That was good. That was good timing. I appreciate that.
All right, man. other rookies. I mean, Joe Milton stole the show. Joe Milton.
I'm not playing this game with you this year. I'm not
doing presence.
It. I'm telling you. Here's what translates. Preseason football against twos and threes. Okay, we're gonna pump the brakes. We're going to wait till stuff happens in the regular season. That's what we're going to wait for.
Pocket presence translates, Chris. It translates. And then you have some.
I will not disagree with you. I will not disagree with you that is a transferable skill that is necessary in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But I'm clearly being very sarcastic when I talk about Jordan Love throwing one pass and he's going to take us to the Super Bowl. Like, it's the preseason. Okay.
He
abused somebody that is just trying to make a team. So let's continue to – it's preseason, pump the brakes.
Yeah. Preseason is the king of the brakes because that's where Danny Dimes made his
– Danny Dimes. They're going to start some rookie who has no business starting because of the work that he did in the preseason, and it's gonna ruin him for the rest of his career.
I don't know. Pete Carroll was right, man, when he went with Russell Wilson over Matt Flynn. He was right.
He didn't do it because of the preseason work. That wasn't the determining factor. All right.
I'm sure it's practice. I'm sure it's practice and stuff like that. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But Caleb looked pretty good too. Caleb looked all right. His first start had some good throws. He has some good pocket feel. I thought he looked pretty good. He looked competent
quarterback play in Chicago makes people go absolutely insane.
Dog, if he doesn't throw 4,000 yards with those guys, I don't know. Chicago's cursed. That's why I've been saying that. He should hit 4,000. Chicago's a cursed city. He doesn't hit 4,000 with those weapons.
They got some pretty
Emmett, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore.
Then the rookie, Rome.
Yeah.
They got some specialty players over there.
So, what other rookies? Jaden Daniels threw two passes and
one of them looked good.
Yeah, one of them looked really good.
And then, his first pass looked really good.
Yeah, and he changed the play, so he hates Cliff already. So Cliff called a screen, and he changed it to all ghosts. He would call a screen, bro. Like, why you call it a screen on 3rd and 6, bro? That's why I didn't want Cliff, because Jay Daniels is already going rogue in the preseason. He's called an audible.
Then Cliff's just like, oh yeah, great job. Good job, kid.
Great job, Jade.
Great job. And then before the snap, he's like, he's doing what? What's he changing my play for?
Man. So he's already trying to get Cliff Kingsbury fired over there. He's already going defiant. So that's pretty cool. And then I'm trying to think of other rookies. Who else played? I mean, Drake May handed the ball off. They brought him in for a
drive. He was just like, hey, yeah, get used to it. Game speed. Let's go. Get out there. One thing at a time.
And then I guess they got in a fight today, the Patriots.
You already said moving forward. If a starter wants to get into a fight, you're playing the entire preseason game. If you're not a starter and you get into a fight, you're not playing any of the preseason game.
Somebody said Drake May should get in a fight, like, right now. Yeah, man. Bo Nix looked all right, but, that's a film watcher's versus broadcaster. I'm not saying amateurs. I'm sorry, guys. First broadcast watcher. Because I guess his film was awful. I haven't watched it yet, but I watched some of those guys' film. But I guess his film was just him, like, running into pressure and stuff like that. And so,
oh, boy.
Yeah. Looking like Bo Nix from Alabama, from Auburn. Basically.
Yeah. that's still, I can't get over the fact that dude was a legacy at Auburn and left the SEC.
Yeah.
Because he thought that he would do better outside of the most pro-ready conference in college.
And he was right. He still got drafted 12.
Yeah. Well, see what would have happened if he would have. We'll never see what would have happened had he stayed with Auburn. That's for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's really nothing else to talk about preseason. I mean, C.J. Stroud came in and it threw a touchdown his first drive, like on a ball he threw like 5 seconds before T.J. Dale came out of his break, perfectly put on his plate. And Stephon Diggs on the sideline telling him how he runs the route. Right. Like, so when I run that route, I do a little shake, though, so you can't throw it that early because I shake a little bit. I was doing my lip reading. I was practicing my lip reading, Chris. I shake a little bit before I break out. Tank, he just comes right out the break. I shake. So if I shake a little bit, you can't do that type of timing. You know what I mean? Stephon Diggs has to make sure he gets the ball first. So
sure. Yeah. One pass to somebody else. He's having a conversation with CJ.
It wasn't a bad conversation. He's just telling CJ how he runs the route.
We gotta talk. Yeah, we just make sure we're on the same page.
I do a little more of a shake.
All right, let's get into this because we're gonna need to focus for this top 10 here.
I'm sorry. That conversation was hilarious.
I could totally
tell us what he was saying. He was like, yeah, I love that throw because he's like pointing at TikTok. I love it, but I do this. All right, guys. All right, so we're getting the countdown. All right.
Finale.
The finale. So we did 20 through 11 last week, which was Wilson, Derek Carr, Geno Smith, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Tua, Lawrence, Cousins, Love, Goff. All right. So.
Matthew Stafford at that 10 spot like he always has been?
No. Stafford's at a 10.
Oh, wow.
You're going to like this list. I already tell. Okay. All right. So I got Brock Purdy at 10.
I think that's deserved.
Purdy gets a lot of hate, right? I think he gets a lot of hate, but he is pretty damn good at quarterback, to be honest. Like, I think he runs Kyle Shanahan's offense really well. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not Jimmy Garoppolo. He's getting through all the reads. If he has a time, he's getting to that fifth one. He knows everywhere to go with the football. He anticipates really well. I think he has pretty good pocket feel, too. He's good feel in the pocket. Good
throws under pressure.
The offensive line was not good last year besides Trent Williams. I know it wasn't, but, he made some plays. you know, when the line was breaking down, he has a throw against the Jaguars. We're like, he's because he's like 6'6", and I feel like the line collapsed around him, and I don't know how he saw this, but he found some way to just like throw it up in the air, and it landed right into like George Kittle, and he ran for 7 yards. It was a crazy throw. And you know, and you know, like I said, he anticipates really well. He has a great job of, you know, throwing digs over the middle. You know, he doesn't have a huge arm, but I think he does it good enough and has good timing to get rid of that ball on time. And I just thought his film was impressive because, you know, he's one of those guys too. Like, if nothing's there, he's gonna throw to McCaffrey, and you know, McCaffrey's gonna make some plays for him. And I know Shanahan has a lot of cool stuff that gives him easy reads, easy looks, easy things for him to go through, but I still think that his film is pretty impressive. Like, you know, I think if he continues to get better, I think he has a chance to become, like, you know, notified as a really good quarterback. Because I still think they stole the MVP from him. I still think they.
Wow.
We didn't give him the MVP. I mean, he had the numbers and he has the film, but we didn't give him an MVP because he's Brock Purdy playing with Kyle Shanahan. Like, oh, I got somebody, Kyle. And Kyle,
you can't give a seventh round guy this early an MVP.
You can't do it, you know, because it's just the numbers that he put up, and you know, over 4,000 yards, I believe, yeah, over 4,000, over 30 touchdowns, less than 10 interceptions. He like had the EPA. If you go to some nerdy stats, he was like at 29. The next guy's at 12. Like, he was efficient, right? And he really did the job with Kyle Shanahan, and I think he was pretty flawless throughout the season. I think his worst game was the Ravens game, which we all watched, which when he lost the MVP, was that game. Yeah. That was the worst game in the regular season.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's get into it here. So with Purdy, though, my whole problem with Purdy is that in the playoffs, he just wasn't – he just seemed like a – I don't want to say this. I don't know if he was just trying too hard, but he just like – it's basically like he forgot how he played in the regular season. And when he was like trying to do too much, like in the regular season, if nothing was there, he just throw it to McCaffrey, get a nice check down, get a nice little McCaffrey, go 15 or something like that. You know, make a guy miss, go 15, right? Or he has his play against the Cardinals where that he probably could have went to Deebo Samuel on the play, but you get McCaffrey one-on-one against a linebacker on a choice route, you're going to catch McCaffrey, throw a touchdown, right? But he got the Super Bowl, right? And like, he's like forcing the ball downfield. He's ignoring check downs. It was like he was trying to beat Patrick Mahomes, like he was out trying to outplay him, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it really hurt his team, and I don't think he played really well in the playoffs. So it's gonna, with him, the dynamic to me is gonna be how he plays going forward in the playoffs. I think that he has a lot of good elements to him. I mean, of course, there's some things that, you know, he's not very good at, like, you know, he's not gonna be able to throw the ball 80 yards downfield or anything like that. But I think, you know, Brandon Ayuk still had like 76 catches and 1,300 yards. So he had a lot of explosive plays still. But most of that was like hitting him, had perfect timing on a dig route, kind of, you know, those type of things. So you're not going to get those, you know, super deep passes that you're going to get from Brock Purdy. But I think he's very efficient. He's going to get the ball out of his hands. It's just, he's got to play that way in the playoffs. So he can't just, I'm playing Jordan Love, I got to be Superman now. Like, that's not going to work, bro. You got Christian McCaffrey. You know what I'm saying? Play the same way you always play. Like, you know, there's play against the Eagles where he has like a 40-yard pass to George Kittle. And it's just a dump off and he goes through his reads and he just dumps it off George Kittle. And nobody's around him. Like, but in the playoffs, he wasn't doing that. I don't know. Maybe he was just taking offense.
Too amped up.
Something. Or he's trying to prove something to somebody.
Yeah, I hope that could definitely be the case.
Yeah, like I'm not, you know, he definitely sounds like he has a chip on his shoulder this year, but yeah, he just needs to play his game, bro. Your game is run the offense. Be a field general. Don't try to do too much. You got a good coordinator who's going to set up your wide receivers to get open. You know, Brandon Ayuk, you know, had a lot of easy looks that, you know, Purdy had the great timing on it and was able to take advantage of it. You could tell he works with Ayuk a lot. That's why I think it'd be dumb to trade him, because him and Ayuk – he has good timing with the way Ayuk runs routes, which I think when you have like we just talk about Stephon Diggs, you're making jokes about Stephon Diggs, but that's why Diggs was telling him that, because you're going to have to wait a little bit to get rid of that ball when the guy's a little unorthodox, right? So, and I think he has that down with Brandon Ayuk, because Brandon Ayuk would be in the mix of a longer rocker step that he probably should be doing. And then he would get out of the break, but the ball's already right to him because Purdy had that timing with him. And I don't know if Purdy has that timing with anybody else. But
you better figure it out.
Yeah. So, yeah, so he's going to have to figure that out and try to see what's going on there with that. But, yeah, I think Purdy has I think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback for a while in that offense.
I agree with you.
Right, as long as he got, he's got some good guys, you know, Gilbert Ricky is over there. You know, Gilbert Goon Ricky Purcell is over there.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting to see how he plays. And he's hurt though, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he's hurt already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brock Purdy, like, if he stays within the offense, he learned and put the time in college, was a redshirt senior quarterback at Iowa State. The dude knows how to run an offense. The dude's comfortable in the pocket. As long as the pressure doesn't get to him right away, he has that ability to just work through. He can read a defense.
Yeah. Like,
I don't think Tua can read that well, other than that first read. I don't think Jalen Hurts can read all that well. You know, stuff happens for those guys early in the play so that they can have success. The longer that those guys hold on to the football, the more trouble they are in. And that's why they're that mid-15 ranking. Brock Purdy gets to be in the top 10 because he reads the whole field. He gets through the entire progression. He hangs in the pocket and he'll look through everything and then check it down. He does it the right way, and that's why I totally agree with you that he deserves to be in the top 10, and he will be in the top 10 for a while. His biggest weakness is dealing with pressure. When it comes quickly, I don't know if he just loses his train of thought when it comes right away. He doesn't have the escapability like some of these other guys.
Yeah.
So there's something about it feels like there's a panic there, but there shouldn't be with how well he does everything else.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of a panic there, but I still think he handles it pretty well. I mean, and he is a little underrated making plays with kind of just that second reaction play. He is a little underrated there, but I just think, like, overall, yeah, I see him kind of being steady, like, in this area for a while, especially with the coach that he has.
And as long as they continue to develop the talent around him to where he's got multiple options. Like, he's got two – stud wide receivers, a stud tight end, and the best running back, like, and the best left tackle. Like,
yeah,
they surrounded him with the amount of talent that he needs to be successful. So as long as they can keep that talent around him and he doesn't have to put everything on his own shoulders, he'll definitely remain in the top 10.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. So that's Brock Purdy. So let's get to number nine. Number nine is CJ Stroud. I got CJ Stroud at number nine. Now,
you got him at nine, but you got Jordan Love outside the top 10.
See, the thing is with CJ Stroud is I probably, if he wasn't a rookie, and we keep to our rules, Chris, I kept to the rules here. That's why I got him at nine, to be honest. I think that he played pretty damn well.
Yeah, he played phenomenal.
He played phenomenal. And
his stats are second to Jordan Love's, but. Continue.
I mean, he was more in a running offense than Jordan Love. I mean, he was more like, you know, he was 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, right? Less passing attempts, but when he had to and had to pass the ball, he was fantastic. Like, he had those 240-yard gains back to back. He still threw 4,000 yards, had a really high YPA. It was great deep passing. I mean, he was on the money on his deep passes. His game in the playoffs against the Browns was fantastic. That dude was just going off. I thought he was so consistent down to down too. It was like he was already a second year player or even like a third year player that it felt like. And he's still so young. He's only 21 years old. Probably, I think he's maybe turned 22 during the season. Probably turned 23 this year. He's still so young. And I thought that he, you know, threw the ball to the middle of the field really well, did a good job participating in the middle of the field, which you saw on film at Ohio State. He did a good job doing that at Ohio State, too. And, you know, and it's the whole, like, mobility thing, too. I think it's overrated because he didn't need to do that. Because he's also smart with the football. Like, he would, for the most part, he would check down when he needed to. I think sometimes that he would still try to force it downfield a little bit. And that, like, affected his completion percentage. I think that he would take chances, like, instead of just like checking it down, he, instead of getting sacked, he would just like throw it downfield and, you know, where only his guy could get it, but then nobody else could get it. Mm-hmm. And, but it would be like overthrow pass. So that's why he has like this, he has like a weird accuracy percentage that's pretty low, when I think he's more accurate than it actually says, because it's more, because some, you know, people don't know how pocket passes work for the most part, in my opinion. And I think we're, I don't know, I'm being serious, because I think
there is a very strategic advantage to throwing an incompletion sometimes.
Yeah, right.
It truly is.
And it might mess up your accuracy percentage, might be really low. You're like, oh, that guy's not accurate. Look, here's my accuracy percentage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I charted. I didn't like that throw. But, like, it's more about, like, sometimes the pocket passer just to get rid of the football. He's not going to try to, like, make
live, a live for the next day. Live for the next day.
Right? Mm-hmm. If I just get rid of the ball here, it's still second and 10 or whatever. I'm not losing yards. I'm not taking a sack.
Field goal range. I can't take a sack here. I got another down to play with.
Yeah. So like you might watch him, like he's about to get pressure and he might just throw the ball and it might sail over Tank Dell's head or like whoever, or Nico Collins or somebody like that. And it's like, oh, that's inaccurate. But I'm watching and I'm like, oh, he's just giving it the football. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. That makes absolutely a lot of sense, because it sometimes is necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes it is necessary to do that. And I thought he did a good job of, like I said, not losing.
That's how you know you got a good quarterback, because we're utilizing an incompletion instead of the incompletion happens because you're just inaccurate. Like, yeah, those are two completely different things.
Yeah, because his completion percentage was low. It wasn't high. And a lot of it to me was he was throwing downfield a lot, which, you know, that's going to lower your completion percentage. But a lot of it was him being a pocket passer. And, you know, when you think about it, like, the completion percentages have gotten higher, you know, because a lot of these screens and guys throwing short passes, but there's not a lot of guys who are pure pocket passers who are just giving rid of the ball just to get rid of it, like, you know, like Peyton Manning would or something like that, or like Brady to just get rid of the ball.
Drew Brees.
Yeah, those type of guys. And, you know, even with the accuracy charting with Brady and like even Aaron Rodgers and those guys to end the careers, they were higher, right? And when you think about it, that's how Stroud played, is I'm getting rid of the ball. So it might, oh, that's inaccurate when I'm charting it, but is it really inaccurate? So that was my thing when watching CJ Stroud. I thought he was pretty damn good, right? And if he wasn't a rookie and we didn't have our rules, Chris, I might have put him in the 5-5. I almost did. I thought about it. Okay. I thought about it.
I'm filing this away, man. You got Jordan Love outside the top 10, and you want to put this kid
he played in better the
top 5.
He was better, Chris. I'm sorry. He was. He played okay. Better. He played good the whole season. He didn't have a historic 10-week run.
Historic, but not historic enough to be in your top 10. Okay, all right, go to eight.
I didn't get to my what's wrong with CJ Stroud.
Okay.
You just want me to keep moving.
I'm in my feelings.
I see.
I'm in my feelings right there. You keeping Jordan Love out of the top 10. I'm in my feelings.
So I went with what I think of CJ Stroud, which I thought in college, is I still think he struggles with pressure, and I think that is something that people aren't gonna notice that much, because he has Tunsil and Titus Howard. You know what I mean? Like,
those are good tackles.
Those are pretty damn good tackles. You know what I'm saying? And like the Jets game, like when I think Tunsil might have been out of that game, he was just getting just bullied, and he like had under 50% passing. And you know the Bucks game too, when they're getting after him early in that game, he didn't look too good because he's under pressure a lot. I still think pressure is a little bit of an issue for him. So, But I think he handles it better than Jared Goff, but I still, it's something that like it could be key. Like, I mean, you don't want to blitz him though. Like, he's a typical guy. Like, if I can get pressure with four,
then there's trouble.
Then there's going to be trouble. Like, I don't know if I want to blitz him 800 times, because he's so smart that he's going to pick you apart if you blitz him. He's going to know where to go with the football. He's going to know where his hot route is. He's going to know. Or maybe if you're blitzing me, I can maybe the reads should be here, but this guy's gonna be 1-on-1. I'm gonna go here instead. Like, he's that type of guy. So, but if you get pressure on him with four, yeah, he's gonna struggle a little bit. That's what I'm saying. He's the classic pocket passer. Like, you get pressure with four is how you beat him. And I still think that's a little bit of an element that he's gotta get better at. Maybe he won't ever get better at that, but it's how you beat him, is you have to get pressure with four. If you're trying to send six, you will get picked apart. I'll tell you that right now. But if you do like the Jets or the Bucks, and they're getting, I mean, the Bucks were sending some blitzes, but he was able to burn them when they did that. But when they got pressure with four, it was a little different. So yeah, And I also hope that they don't try to get to the 40 passes a game with him, because he was a little bit controlled in like a run first offense last year. A lot of play action, a lot of keeping him under 30 passes. And I think that I know that they got Stephon Diggs and they got Nico Collins and they got Tank Dell, and there's gonna be a temptation to do that. But I still think he's 23, and I think they need to calm it down a little bit, keep it until he's like to the 25, 26, and then we can get to that.
Yeah, let him progress. Let him get comfortable. Let him progress. I might be messing around, but he was my number one out of the draft class. So I'm very high on CJ. He deserves to be in this spot.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I hope they don't, like, we're going to stop running the ball, because there's a big thing on Twitter, like, hopefully they stop running the ball on first down. I'm like, bro, that was effective for him, though. It helped him out, kept him comfortable, kept teams steady, and allowed him to give him easier looks, because teams are going to try to stop him now that he got Diggs, and if they can keep running the ball, it's going to keep teams a little too high and allow him to work a little bit. So, yeah, man. But I feel bad for Nico Collins, because Nico Collins would have had a chance to be like, you know what I'm saying? 1600-yard guy.
He's the third option now.
he went from first to third, bro. Diggs already decided this is hot. He's already in the ear. He's already in his ear.
Oh yeah,
it's over, bro. Yeah, Nico, it's over. You're not getting any more targets. You're good. All right,
number eight.
The most hated quarterback I hate the most is Justin Herbert. I went Justin Herbert at eight here. Gotta hate this guy. I have a disdain for him. It's a hate watch for me every time, because it's just like,
well, this is the year where we got to keep an eye on him, because
he's hurt now.
That's a lot of talent that left in the offseason.
They got rid of Keenan Allen, man. I don't understand. Jim Harbaugh's a crazy man, like for Gus Edwards.
They got rid of Keenan Allen. They got rid of Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
Isn't Mike Williams gone too?
Yeah, they're all gone.
What? Those are your three top producers.
And he's hurt. And he has
plantar fasciitis.
Yes.
This is the year that we're gonna find out what type of quarterback this young man is.
Yeah, I mean, think with Herbert just has good pocket presence. I think he sees the field really well. It's good pocket presence. He knows when to leave. He knows when to run. He knows when to stay. He's good pocket mobility too. That's what I really hate about him the most, is that he does those old school things where he slides in the pocket to like move his arms, and he's so strong there too. Like, he'll have like four guys grabbing on him and still throw the football as hard as he can. He can step through it, and and he's pretty accurate when he needs to be. It's just a hate watch for me every time. I hate watching the guy. I do, but he definitely has a lot of things that I like, and it's hard to keep him out of the top 10 as much as I really want to, as much as I just want to find something to keep him out of this area. But we talked about this, I think, a couple years ago, that he's going to be 8 or 7 for like his whole career. I don't think he's ever going to pass the spot. We talked about this. We did. He's going to be right here.
We did.
Stafford. He's like,
this is a huge hashtag. We'll see. Huge hashtag. We'll see for him this season. Just because that's a lot of missing pieces
with Greg Roman.
That's a lot of missing pieces.
You're forgetting they hired Greg Roman, Chris.
I didn't forget anything. I know this is a potential problem for him. This is a potential problem.
The Chargers are going to charge. That's the thing. That's my favorite thing about him, is on the Chargers. So I watched this quarterback who has all this potential. I don't even say potential. I think he actually is a really good quarterback. He's on the Chargers. I will say that I don't think he anticipates as good as the other quarterbacks that I had around him. I don't think that he does that. He does anticipate.
Is it because he just doesn't, like, there's nobody, he doesn't have the timing down with anybody? Those guys miss so much time the last few years that he can't get on the same page with them to make those anticipatory throws?
Yeah, you might have a good point there, because, Keenan Allen, he was able to.
He missed a lot of games.
Yeah.
Mike Williams missed a lot of games.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have a point there. Yeah, you do have a point that maybe that he's a little bit, with that. But, I think sometimes it's like, when you have a big arm like that, I think sometimes some of those guys are just late, like, when they don't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But he still can make some crazy throws. I just think that, you know, some of the anticipation, I do think he's a little bit of a Silva check down Charlie a little bit. I think that's his conservative.
Well, Austin Eckler, you have somebody that you can be a check down Charlie to because of how much he can do with that ball once you get him in open space. Doesn't have it anymore. So this is going to be absolutely insane. And Gus Edwards just turn around and hand the ball off to that guy. He's just going to barrel through. He's a bowling ball, man. I got to watch him with all the games that I see here in Washington, D.C. and Maryland and in Baltimore. Like, there's a lot of Ravens football on in this area, and I got to see Gus Edwards barrel through a lot of people.
Yeah, they're Ravens fanatics. They live and breathe the Ravens over there, so makes sense. But, yeah, like, yeah, he's still a little bit of that in him, you know, all those things. But, you know, that's why you can beat him, though, because I feel like you can dictate his game. I still feel like you could dictate where he goes with the football. You could dictate where he's going to read, because he's not going to test tight windows unless he's down 7 with, like, 3 seconds or 3 minutes left. That's the only time he's going to start testing windows. Other than that, he's not really going to take a lot of chances. That's why he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. He's just not really a guy who's going to use his arm like you would think he would, right? So, yeah, man, I just didn't. Yeah, it's a hate watch for me. I just don't like the guy. It's just something about him. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't like him. I don't like the guy. He's like it's the quarterback. If I have a quarterback that I hate in the NFL, it's Justin Herbert, man. I just can't stand the guy. Every time I watch it, I do this summer film session. I just get angry. I get it gets my blood boiling. Watching like, wow. Him making a great throw, it's like, I just hate you so much.
let's move you off of Justin Herbert then. Let's calm you down.
All right, so now this is my default one because I didn't know where to put this guy. And you probably know where I'm gonna go with this one. I had no idea what to put. I just put Aaron Rodgers at 7. I had no idea where to put Aaron Rodgers. And I feel like I had to list him because I'm not gonna list. I know some people like to do this, they like to put him at like at 14, but I mean, bro.
You mean like the top 100, and they put them at 94 or whatever?
Yeah. But even then, but why was he on that list, right? People were mad that he was, because he's Aaron Rodgers. That's why he's on that list. So I honestly didn't know where to put him, but I'm like, I know deep down in myself, if he plays a whole season with those guys,
he's gonna be a top 10 guy. That's just who he is. He's gonna tear it up. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, right. He hasn't fallen off. You can see the camp, like they drop an OTA because he's throwing no look passes. You know, he's Aaron Rodgers.
Dude's gonna do what he wants to do.
So that's my thing, and I think that, you know, the vaccines and stuff like that has a lot of the media not liking him, and you know, him being, you know, super, you know, astrology spiritual guy and doing all that weird stuff, and you know, going into a chamber in India for 4 days, all that stuff that, you know, that's why people are putting him outside the top 10. Because you guys got to keep it real, like, you know, because when I think about, like, is when I'm listening to these guys, is Justin Herbert better than Aaron Rodgers? No, he's not. No, he's not. I couldn't do it. I can't. I just can't lie to myself.
If he plays an entire season, he's right back in the top 5, if not back in the top 3. He's Aaron Rodgers. He's Aaron Rodgers. He's at 7 because he didn't play. He played 3 snaps last year. He's at 7. What do you want me to do? He plays the whole year. Then the conversation's what it always is. Patrick Mahomes 1, Aaron Rodgers 2. Oh, did I spoil something for you? What? You don't like reality?
You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
Yeah, because I just don't see him having a bad year with those guys. Now he's got Mike Williams too. So he's got Mike Williams, right? He's got Garrett Wilson, right? You know, maybe the offensive line might not be good, but I feel like, you know, he's playing in his offense.
He's played with offensive linemen that have struggled before. It's not a new thing for him.
Yeah, and he's playing in his own offense. You know, Hackett's just there with a clipboard. I mean, we saw what Hackett did without him. Now he's
bro. If you guys struggle, you better believe that everybody in the world is going to be pushing for a trade to get Devontae into New York. If you guys are struggling and the Jets are in competition, at the trade deadline, you better believe that that's all that anybody's going to talk about.
They better give up Garrett Wilson then. To me, there's no trade with the Jets without Garrett Wilson. I want Garrett Wilson. I'm dead serious.
I don't know what to tell you, man. This conversation will be happening.
You want to take our best receiver? You're going to give us your younger best receiver. So we have not to worry about it. We don't have to look in the draft and all that stuff. You got Garrett Wilson.
You'll get 2 first round draft picks and you will like it. And you will like it.
No.
They will mortgage that future.
It's a first round draft pick and
Garrett Wilson. All right, let's go to six. we'll have this conversation when it's happening. Again. And
Garrett Wilson. I'm just saying. That's my if I'm a GM, I'm like, are you giving up Garrett Wilson? And you're like, nope, sorry, man. He's going to the Steelers.
You're going to take on that IU contract. That's how you're going to get IU back. That's how you're going to get him back.
Exactly, man. IU gets traded, and then he gets traded again. Tom Reddick over here. You know what I mean? Reddick was to be traded twice.
Oh.
Or maybe you send him to the Saints with Carr, man. You know, send him back.
Okay. All right. Now let's go to six for real this time. I'm not playing that game with you. I'm not playing that game.
Send him to the Saints, bro.
I'm not playing that game with you. Go to six. Go to six.
All right. Six is Dak Prescott. I got Dak Prescott here at six. Mr. Regular Season, Dak is on his Peyton Manning early career run right here. That's what he's got his he's on his early career because Dak is really good film, man. Dak is everything that I would want in a quarterback. He's great in the pocket. He can make plays outside the pocket a little bit. It's great pocket feel. He does, you know, he slides in the pocket. Does all these great things. He's a general. He's changing plays of the line. He's accurate. You know, he's doing all these things. He anticipates really well. And you know, it just feels like he gets to the playoffs and he just shits the bed.
I think he feels the weight of the Dallas Cowboy world and it crushes him.
That's a good point.
I think he knows that he has to perform in the playoffs and he's just on edge. Like he came in, he took the pressure. He played really well in the regular season. They're like, okay, we got our quarterback. Now you're the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, and now the weight of the world is on you. You got to do better than Tony Romo. You got to do better than Troy Aikman. Like you got to do that. And I mean, same thing happened to Tony. Tony had his playoff struggles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. Yeah. So and that's the thing because I mean Dak. Like I said, he does so many things well, right? It's just so many things that you really like. You know, that's why I like guys like Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, they love watching Dak because he does all that super high-level field general stuff, and he's a steady, like, top seven, top – I mean, some people are going to have him top five. I mean, I didn't want to put him there, but I just think he has great film, and he is just steady. Like, I know what I'm going to get. I know I'm going to have a big year from Dak Prescott every year, especially if I have a guy that he can throw to. You got Brandon Cooks. You got some of those tight ends. You got CeeDee Lamb, even though, you know, CeeDee Lamb is not going to get paid, even though, you know, Jerry Jones usually figures it out. But he's got to pay Michael Parsons $40 million. And he's got to get Dak $60
million. Dude, I know. I don't know how they're going to pay. I don't know how they're going to figure that out. Because that offensive line is not what it used to be. They got some new young guys in there that have the potential to be what they need for an offensive line. They don't got to run. They don't have anybody to turn around and give the ball to.
And they can't run the ball. So that's the thing. And I think that what really hurt him in the playoffs too is that, you know, during the regular season they got away with just Dak Prescott just picking people apart and, you know, and not being able to run the football or you know, because who was the running backs last year? I mean, Tony Pollard. I don't know what team Tony Pollard is on right now.
I don't remember where he went either. Is he in Washington splitting time with Eckler?
Maybe. I have no idea.
I don't remember where Tony Pollard went. So there it is. I mean, that just says it all. Like, we don't know where he is. That's the kind of running back that they had. They got Zeke back.
Yeah.
They got Zeke back. Did you see that clip where he went through that arm tackle machine and he came out of it? He's like, oh, my back. Oh.
Yeah, he's like 30, man. I hope Zeke is Hall of Fame, though, because I think he deserves it. But because they're not going to let any other running backs in Hall of Fame, I don't think, besides like Christian McCaffrey. But I think Zeke, has a resume for that. And I think he was good for a long time, and he's worth the pick at four. People don't like him. You know, you don't pay a running back, but he got paid, and he still was getting 1,300 yards and 13 touchdowns a year. He still is effective in the pass game. He still could take a screen 90 yards. The dude's the best screen guy I've ever seen. You dump a screen to him for some reason, it turns into a kickoff. He takes a point 90. He did it last year with the Patriots. Not a screen. He was taking a 90 still. So I think he'd be effective that way. But I just think, you know, one thing I'll say about Dak, you know, because we always called him a nut, you know, every time we do this breakdown, I think he was really conservative last year. I thought he didn't really take the chances. You know, the interceptions were in his ear, I guess, the picks. He led the league in interceptions, so it was like a big thing.
I got a big problem with the way that he turned the ball over.
So he was really, like, reserved. But I like Nutso, Dak Prescott. So that was the only thing that hurt me a little bit, that he was a little bit more reserved this year. He just wouldn't, you know, I love Dak trying to fit it, trying to anticipate and hit it right at a dig in between two linebackers running into each other. I missed that. I did miss that. And I don't know if he's going to go back to that ever again, though.
I don't think we'll see that again.
Yeah,
he's got to figure out how to get out of his head.
Yeah,
he's got to figure out how to get out of his head.
Well, I think in the playoffs he needs to play like that, though. So maybe like I feel like in the playoffs, I think he's.
Well, he did. He threw an interception, and Jair, somebody got a hand on him. Otherwise, that was a pick six. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, dude. He did it. He threw a pick six.
But that wasn't like an aggressive throw. That was a stupid throw. That's the difference. We're talking about aggressive, smart throws here, Chris, where it's like anticipated correctly. That was a stupid throw. See, that's the difference, Chris. That's what I'm talking about. He just the playoffs, and he just shits the bed. But, yes, I know a lot of Raiders fans do not want him, and I don't understand why. I know it's paying him $60 million is a lot, and I get it.
And, well, you know, if there's a guy that could use a change of scenery.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. And what I tell Raiders fans is, like, why can't he break through with a different team? You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's the team around him. And maybe it's
I think he could. I think he would be able to finally get out of his head if he's out of Dallas. I think that pressure of wearing the star – like it got to Tony, it's on him. He's got it. It's happening to him. And that's why I don't ever want to see him be a $60 million man. Like, that's like, you gave Daniel Jones 40. Now you're going to give Dak 60? What?
I mean, Trevor Lawrence got 55, man.
I'm still going to be amazed that he's going to make 60 a year.
Yeah.
I'm still going to be – you're going to pay 60 a year? You can't make it out of the first round of the playoffs?
I don't tell you, man.
All right, at least you've got the potential with these other guys. With Dak, you're getting the same thing. Unless he leaves Dallas, he's doing the same thing every year.
I think so. I agree with you on that. All right. So number five, which to me, I feel like this guy's number five just because
Josh Allen.
No, it's not Josh Allen. Oh. It's not Josh. It's Matthew Stafford.
Oh, I almost forgot that you haven't said Stafford's name yet.
It's Matthew Stafford, and the reason why Matthew Stafford's five, and I was thinking about this, like, you know, Matthew Stafford would never be five in like 2016.
No,
but now he's five because he's
Matthew just better. Matthew Stafford is what Jared Goff is. Goff was 10, right? You said Goff was 10.
No, you're not gonna say.
Oh, he's 11. He was 11. He was 11.
He's way better than Goff. He is.
Hold on, I'm not disagreeing with you, but where Jared Goff is now, is where Matthew Stafford used to be. Mm-hmm. The only reason Matthew Stafford's not there anymore is because there's no more Tom Brady. There's no more Drew Brees. There's no more Eli Manning. There's no more Peyton Manning. Like, you got to put him somewhere.
Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers.
Right? Like, he just happens to be there still. So if Jared Goff is still there, like, he's going to end up where Matt Stafford is. He could stumble his way into a Super Bowl and be right where Matthew Stafford is right now. That could happen.
I swear, it's like, because if you name those five guys, right, they're all in front of him, right? He's at 10 and 11, like, it's like he always is. But those guys are gone, and he just moved right on up at the five.
And that's only because Aaron Rodgers was hurt all last year.
Yeah.
So that's another guy that he just happens to jump in front of.
Because I mean, Matthew Stafford is Stafford, bro.
Stafford.
He's going to have some nuts throws. I mean, there's
he is going to have two or three interception games this year. It's going to happen.
He's the dig king. He just and I've never seen anybody throw a dig better than him. I don't know if I ever see it. Man, does he throw a dig. I mean, he has like this is one at the Lions where he just like he comes this against the Lions and plus goes to his left, he comes right back to his right, and just drills it right to Nakua. And Nakua hasn't came out of his break yet, so he was reading it that quick. And Nakua hasn't came out of his break yet, just drills it right to his chest. And I'm like, man, this dude is just nuts. And then they were like getting their butts kicked by the Cowboys, and he still had some crazy throws in that game. He had this one crazy throw on the sideline that, you know, Stephon Gilmore ended up breaking up, but that was a nuts throw. And you know he just has so many just crazy throws.
And, loves to throw the no lookers.
Yeah, he has the no lookers, and you know I think the way he played last year, and just maybe like I said, it's just maybe because the other guys are just not that high level like he is. I think he was just a step above. I mean, that's why he took a Rams team that wasn't really good to the playoffs last year. They got to the playoffs. That wasn't really a good Rams team. I mean, he had some good wide receivers, but the line was a little iffy. You know what I mean? Defense was a little iffy. You know what I mean?
It wasn't really running game's a little iffy.
You know, well, Kyren Williams, I guess, came on at the end of the year. He had 1,000 yards.
But he was up and down because he was hurt.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he came on to the end of the year, so I think that helped him out a lot. But I think Stafford is just – he's just steady at this time. Like, at this point, like, it's not really that many guys that are better than him, in my opinion. And that's why I think the Rams could surprise. The NFC West is going to be tough. The division, they could surprise just because, like I said,
we're at that point where these are the quarterbacks that, all right, get on my back. Let's go. We're going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Stafford could still lead a team like that. And I think that he just has some special throws and, you know, I think he only has 1 year left with the Rams.
That sounds right. I think you're right.
Now that if it's Dak Prescott or Matthew Stafford for the Raiders, I'm going Stafford. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'll go Stafford. I think the Raiders could win a lot of games with him. That's what I would do. So if that happens, you know, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. There was rumors that they were trying to trade him at the draft.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, I don't know what the hell they're going to do at quarterback then, because Stetson Bennett threw 4 picks yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
We talk about it's preseason.
You want to talk about a guy whose college success was all about the people that were around him?
Shit, man! The four and he's the first quarterback to throw 4 picks in a preseason game since 1999.
Wow.
You and Nathan Peterman look good in preseason, bro. Come on, man. Like,
okay. You got a Peterman reference in there? Time to go to 4. Let's go to 4.
All right. I'm sorry, guys. All right. Let me gather myself. So 4 is Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's at 4. I got Joe at 4 here. Now, Joe is – he's got to fix the injuries. Let's start there. He's been hurt. Like, so he's got hurt year one. He wasn't hurt year two. He played pretty well. Didn't he get hurt year three?
I just know he's you want to talk about a slow start every single season.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, he doesn't like turn on until week 6.
Which is weird. I don't understand.
It's really weird.
But when he turns on, Chris, when he turns on.
I know. That's the thing. Like, they started the last, like, 3 seasons, like, 1-4 or something like that. Like, I don't get it. And they had the bye week, like, in week 6 or something. Like, I don't understand, like, how he can start the year so bad. Is he just somebody that he needs to be out there for all these preseason games? But maybe. He can't be out there because he's hurt?
All the time.
Well, I don't get it.
He played 2 series. This first preseason game, he played 2 series.
Did he?
Yeah, he led a touchdown drive. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe they do need to get him going.
I think it's obvious based off of the last few years that I've never seen a slower start for a quarterback ever.
Yeah, but he's just a damn stud, bro. Every time I watch him, I'm like, man, you're a damn stud. Just pocket movement is pristine. He just great feel. Like, it's like, if you're going to sack him, it's hard. I think he's got over the I'm Russell Wilson thing, which I'm very happy about.
He's not taking as many sacks as he was.
Yeah, but the offensive line was terrible, man.
He took a lot of sacks. We talked about it on the show a lot that he was the cause of a lot of those sacks.
But last year it wasn't. Last year he was just getting his ass kicked up. Last year, just pure awful. I don't know what was happening. But even then, he was still makes plays, man, because he reads the field so well. He sees the field so well. He gets rid of the ball so quick. He knows where to go to the ball. So if he's got to check it down, he's going to check it down. If he's got to throw it downfield, he's got to throw it downfield. If he's got to get out of the pocket and make a play, he's going to make a play. Yeah, his crazy throw against Texans, man, that was just ridiculous. It was just nuts throw against the Texans, man. Rolling out to his right. He was rolling out to his left, and he threw it across his body. I didn't know he had the arm strength to make that throw, but he made it. You know what I mean? Like, and he just has so many great plays on film. It's just, you know, sometimes he can't take some sacks, and I think but when he's in rhythm, he is just – like, it's lights out if he's in rhythm. If he can hit that back of his drop and he can throw that football, it's going to be on the money. He throws probably the best back shoulder in football. It's just so much.
Is that just because he's been working with Chase for like
years now? I mean, T. Higgins too, man. He does it to T. Higgins, but I mean, he's been working with them for like, I mean, he's. What do you want me to say to that? He's a hard worker and works with his receivers. He's supposed to do that, Chris.
No, I know he's supposed to do that, but like, it when you got a guy that you've been throwing the ball to for 8 years, like that's not something that happens. You don't get that kind of longevity with your wide receivers.
Yeah, that's true, man. But like, I still think he's still accurate with it. I mean, he's still got to hit it no matter how they work on it. He's got to be able to hit it. Put it at that spot. And I think he's really special with that, you know, because it's hard to find too many flaws with him. Like, you know, like I said, you could talk about maybe arm strength a little bit, or, you know, you could nitpick a little bit. But I you know, it's one of those things where he's a stud, bro. There's really nothing else I can say about it. Like, he does his thing every week in, week out. He does get his slow starts. Like, you watch him like week two or something, it's kind of ugly. Mm-hmm. But like, when you watch the Niners game, it's like, he tore that defense up, you know, and that's one of the best defenses in the league. And he just was picking them apart, bro. So, yeah, he's when he's on, and it's past week eight, watch out. Yeah. Seriously, man. And he's the only guy who's beat Mahomes. I mean, he didn't beat Mahomes that year, but he's the only guy that has, you know, that kind of rivals him at this point, right? Even though I think CJ Stroud might get there to rival Mahomes. But, you know, Burrow is the only guy that technically, I mean, even though, in my opinion, he didn't really beat him that game. It was, you know what I mean? He didn't do anything. He was just, you know, to be fair. But, you know, he does give Mahomes some problems. He has Mahomes respect. But, yeah. Joey B, he's a stud, dude. He's a stud.
All right, three
is Josh Allen. Josh Allen's at three. I know. I know you, Chris. I don't know which problem is Josh Allen, Chris.
I do. Can a coordinator wrangle him? He's had one guy that has figured out how to keep him successful in the NFL. And the second that man left to be a head coach, we saw the same thing we used to see.
I'm not gonna say that too much. I think that, you know, he's a wild man. He's a little bit of a wild man, but, you know, it's and he's going to turn the ball over, and he's going to do a lot of those things. But I think he makes up for it with the touchdowns, right? He's still going to throw a lot of touchdowns. He's going to produce a lot.
Is he, though? Is he going to do that this year? Who's he throwing to? A rookie wide receiver?
I mean, we're going to find out.
They got rid of
we'll see, Chris.
they got rid of Knox.
No, Knox is still there, isn't he?
I thought Knox
was in game. I think Knox is still there.
They love Kincaid. I think Knox is gone because they'd have to pay him. I don't think Knox is there anymore. I think that he's gone this offseason.
Yeah. I was wondering that too. What they're doing is like, Josh, you got this. So we'll see if Josh got
this. They are doing a Josh, you got this. And you know what? I totally expect that completion percentage to plummet the way that it has always been. I've always hated his accuracy. I've always hated it. He turns the ball over way too much, and he takes way too many. Like, he's the most inaccurate Ben Roethlisberger I've ever seen in my entire life.
See, the thing is, though, Chris, if he is on, you can't.
You're right. You're right. If he is on,
you can't stop him.
Marcus, he's not on. He's not on consistently enough.
I mean, he's on enough.
This is the only one in your top 10 that I'm going to fight you on. This is the one that I'm going to fight you on.
It's just because, to me, when he is on, he can't be stopped. You can't stop him. What are you going to do? You going to stop him throwing? No, he's going to run. If you stop him from running, he's going to throw. If he is on, you can't stop him. There's no plan.
I think teams this year are not going to let him run. They're going to make him stay back there, and he's not accurate enough, and he's got – too many young guys that he's throwing to. If you keep him contained and back there just trying to throw the ball, is he going to get some? He's going to get some. He's just that arm strength is just
incredible. He's really well too, Chris. It's not like he doesn't see the field well.
I'm not saying that he doesn't see the field. He just does
all those things you really like.
That man trusts his arm more than probably any other quarterback in the NFL. Like, the only one that probably trusts his arm almost as much might be Will Levis.
which he shouldn't.
Which he shouldn't. He should not. He should not. He's got a cannon, and he doesn't know how to use it. Like, Josh Allen's got a cannon. He knows how to use it, but he's still wildly inaccurate.
Yeah, he's a wild man. But I also think there's a lot of benefits to him. I think he's obviously a big-time leader, right? He's intangibles, all those things. I think he still is going to lead them to the playoffs. I think the Bills are going to win that division because they're still going to play really good defense. And you know,
because there's no – well, Tua's going to make the mistakes for him.
Well, Tua can't beat them.
Tua cannot beat them.
He can't beat them. So, like, if Tua can't beat the Bills, I mean, the Bills, like, beat them, like, 46-15, like, every time.
In Miami. They always lose to the Dolphins in Buffalo, never in Miami.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, he sits and, you know, I mean, unless Aaron Rodgers beats him, which, I mean, that is a possibility. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and that defense, I mean, they're gonna have a chance to sneak in with the Bills. But, I do think the Bills are going to take a step back as a team, though. I don't know. I definitely agree with that.
I think he will. He'll be a part of that step back. That defense got old. They couldn't afford to keep it together. They made a lot of changes on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, High's still a free agent. I wish the Raiders just all right because I think they need some depth at safety.
Both safeties are gone, aren't they?
Yeah, Jordan Poyer's gone too. Yeah.
So that entire team is going to regress, and it really. For me, it depends on that relationship with his offensive coordinator. If his offensive coordinator can keep him wrangled and can keep him to make the smart decision, then maybe we'll see him stay on a straight line. But this is the one in your top 10 that I will disagree with you.
Where do you think he should be? You think he should be outside?
He's still a top 10 guy. Still a top 10 guy. But, I mean, I was saying his name when you were saying 9.
Not to me, it's disrespectful, Josh. I think that's disrespectful.
Okay, fine.
That's fine. That's fine. That's
flip him with Aaron Rodgers then.
All right.
7. All right.
All right. Okay. All right. So number 2 is Lamar Jackson. Now I almost put Lamar at 1. I'm not gonna lie to you, Chris.
Well, you did that. You doing that because of potential, because of Derrick Henry in that backfield.
I thought about it a lot because I thought he had some really good film throwing the football this past year. I thought he looked really good.
MVP. He's the reigning MVP.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good in that offense. I thought he played really well. And, you know, just, you know, because I think he's always been underrated in the pocket a little bit. I thought he really showed that last year. And, of course, he didn't run as much last year. I mean, he still had that ability. I do think that, you know, when they got to the playoffs, I do think that they got a little cocky.
That was insane, the decision-making in the playoffs. Insane.
They got cocky with it.
Insane. They stopped running the football.
Yeah, didn't they run the ball like 9 times that game?
I think it was 6. Gus Edwards had 3 carries, and I think he had 10 yards a rush, and he only had 3. He was averaging 10 yards a carry, and he only had 3 or 4 touches.
Yeah, because the reason, and I'm going to talk about Patrick, because Patrick Mahomes is one. I'm going to talk about these guys together. I'm going to end the show this way, because I'm talking about these guys together, okay? So I almost put him over Patrick Mahomes. I thought his film was better than Patrick Mahomes last year. I thought Mahomes, his film took a step back, all right?
Is it because of the personnel around him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, to the personnel behind him, I think his film took a step back. And that, you know, the Raiders game is the perfect example. It felt like he was like hesitant, to like, you know, to read like what exactly the guys were doing. If it wasn't Travis Kelce, like he was hesitant to like trust these guys, trusting his receivers and things like that. So I felt like his film took a step back, but then he got to the playoffs and his film just went right back to normal. So that was the difference.
Yeah. Between
guys, right? Like it looked like he in the regular season, Mahomes was like, he just wasn't himself. Right. And that's why I felt like the Raiders could beat them during the season, because one, I feel like he is more reserved than he ever was, Patrick Mahomes. Right.
Could not agree with you more.
And I feel like Lamar Jackson was more steady, more comfortable, kept the drives going, did a lot of better things than Mahomes did. Because, I mean, the offense still ranked high in like these little nerdy metrics, but I still think that the offense took a step back last year, the Chiefs offense. And we'll see how they go. But it's just when Mahomes got to the playoffs, and even then, I still think that, you know, they didn't dominate the Ravens on offense. I mean, they didn't score a point in the whole second half.
No, they didn't.
Year, right? But the Ravens decided that they wanted to, you know, not use
the best part of their offense.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and Mahomes –
well, not their best part of the offense, but
and Mahomes tore up the Bills. Like he just dissected them, right? And he just kind of went off and just looked like Patrick Mahomes, how he always has in that game. And in the Super Bowl, he didn't have a good first half, but the second half, he looked like Patrick Mahomes, like he did his whole career. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes is just more of, at this point, he's just the best quarterback in football. And yeah, he might not have the guys around him, but if you get him in the playoffs, that's when he's going to turn it up. And that's when he's going to show he's the difference between him and the other guys. So I think if you just win regular season, Lamar's probably won. Right. If you just win regular season. But if you have to add in the playoffs, then yeah, that dude is, he is number one. Right. And mm-hmm. And I think he just turns it up. And the thing that pisses me off, and you know, that's why I hate Justin Herbert, but you know, I like Patrick Mahomes because, you know, he just verifies how great the show is, because who had him QB1, Chris?
He still terrorizes me with his interceptions and the should have been interceptions. Just absolutely terrorizes me.
Who had him cute? Everybody's making jokes. He can't do it. He can't do it. And now everybody wants a quarterback like that. But now you guys are trying to draft Zach Wilson to make up for it, because you made a mistake because you couldn't see it. Because I saw him at ASU once, man. I remember I watched that Texas game, Caleb Ballage had like eight touchdowns in the game, right?
Yeah.
And he was balling with, I can't name any of those Texas guys. I have no idea who those guys are, but he was balling and keeping that team in that game the whole time. And ASU's defense was not that bad. I don't care what they say. Their defense is not that bad. He was tearing them up, and I've been a fan of his. I can't even really say that anymore, but I've been a fan of his ever since. And people ask me like, what is your worst sports moments? One of my worst sports moments is when the Chiefs traded up and drafted Patrick Mahomes. It's one of my worst sports moments for me being in that draft and watching the trade up. And then it's the Chiefs hearing that noise. And the Chiefs are trading up to 10. And then Goodell walking up to the 10th podium and being like, Patrick Mahomes. I just couldn't. It makes me sick, because it was the perfect place for him to go to, all mm-hmm. those things. But I thought Lamar's film was better throughout the season. And what happens with Lamar is, and I'm gonna tell you what happens with the playoffs with Lamar, because Lamar does not like to check down. He just doesn't. He's a big play guy. He always has been. And the thing is, with a lot of these big play guys, is they don't have the pocket presence that Lamar Jackson has. Lamar Correct. Jackson can't be. He doesn't take sacks because his pocket presence is like. If we're ranking by pocket presence, like it's him, Patrick Mahomes, you know those guys.
Absolutely,
his pocket presence is crazy. Mm-hmm. So he has a feel in the pocket that these other guys don't have. And that's why he doesn't take sacks being a playmaker. Right. you know, because Justin Fields is a playmaker, like, you know, like Lamar, but he has the pocket presence. So he's going to get sacked. You know what I mean? So Lamar is not going to take a sack. He's going to be able to, he's going to be able to feel that guy coming. He's going to be able to dodge it. He's going to be able to, there's two guys coming, he's going to be able to dodge it and then run for 20. And he's not going to be able to, he doesn't take sacks like that. He doesn't fumble like that. But what teams do in the playoffs is they just drop back and they play cover two and they're like, check it down. You're not going to throw deep. You have to check it out. He doesn't like doing that.
And he just runs around for 5 minutes.
Yeah, he doesn't like doing it. He doesn't. The Bills did it to him a couple years ago when the Bills beat him. When he went to he beat the Titans that 1 year, and he ended up playing the Bills in the second round. The Bills didn't play cover two. You're like, you're not gonna throw deep. So what are you gonna do? And he just doesn't like. He just has his brain just malfunctions, and he doesn't. Just you got to take what the defense gives you sometimes. Yeah, and yeah. He doesn't do that. And when you get to the playoffs, and teams are you're playing the better teams in the league, and they're gonna do that
you
to you.
You gotta do it.
Yeah, because he if he was meticulous against the Chiefs, they win that game to go to Super Bowl. Yeah. But he wasn't. And he was still trying to throw down field and stuff like that. And the Chiefs were like, you aren't going to do that today. You are going to go down the field throwing the ball. Or you're going to run the ball, which they're like.
They should have. I don't even want to talk about it. It was completely and utterly mismanaged. There's no reason for them to lose that game. There's no reason.
Yeah, but that's why I have Mahomes over him. Because I just
makes
think
sense.
Mahomes is a playoff guy now. The Chiefs get to playoffs, so we all should be worried. To me, it doesn't matter how he plays in the regular season.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what their record is. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
He's in the playoffs. He's going to turn it up. It's not going to be the same guy as you saw for 17 games. He's going to be a completely different quarterback because he was tearing up the Bills with MVS.
Right, and he just. Mr. dropped the ball in the worst timing. I see that in my sleep, dude. I see that in my sleep.
Yeah, and he was tearing up the Bills with that guy. So he turns it up when he needs to turn it up, and I think that's his dynamic, and that's why he is the number one quarterback in the league. Because at this point, it's and you know people got mad when the players didn't vote on that, but I think you know the players they vote pretty early on that, and it did. The offense took a step back, and so did he. But the playoffs started. And then he went right back. He took the step forward. Right? That's really what happened, man. And then, you know, teams, that, when they play him, you could tell they're scared of him. Because that's why they won't run the ball. Because they're scared. But, like, that's how teams beat Peyton Manning, guys. You run the damn ball. I don't get it.
We'll see if it comes back this year. The running game should start coming back. Derrick Henry being in Baltimore. They're going to hand the ball to him a lot, especially in the playoffs.
If he's falling off, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So,
all right. There we go.
That's it, guys.
We got it. There's your rankings.
That's our list. Let us know what you think. Like I said, I like the love that we're getting from here. You got a lot of love. People are liking the show, Chris. So I really appreciate that. So
Wait till the season starts,
guys. It's going to be even better. So, yeah, I appreciate you guys joining us for the show. Like I said, what is it? ALPA_QB1 on Twitter. Also on the same thing on Instagram, Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on this channel, TDL. Go to
Spotify.
Google Play. We appreciate all the love you guys are giving us with this our move to video. This is our first year doing video. So
year video.
So I like it.
I got the fresh cut, Marcus.
I'm getting a haircut this weekend, man. I'm gonna look better next week. I'm gonna be on your level next week, Chris. I'm getting a haircut this weekend. So finally get one. All right. All right here, guys. Peace.